Hey, this is Chris with a content warning for this episode. Owing to the nature of the monster in it, the boogeyman, we will be discussing child endangerment, child molestation, and violence toward animals. If those are sensitive topics for you, you may want to skip this series of episodes. Welcome, dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 231 of Beyond the Supernatural. We're still discussing the boogeyman. He is a sort of urban fantasy version of every parent's nightmare of the grubby stranger who will snatch your kids, hold them like a football, and just run away with them to some horrible squalid location. It is a scary prospect. One understands why parents are frightened of it in the real world, where a child abductor may, from time to time, be good at abducting children. On the contrary, while this deluxe child molester that we have here in Beyond the Supernatural has been buffed up in a number of ways. He's huge, he's tough, he has supernatural abilities. His practical ability to abduct and kill children has been severely hampered. This thing gets up to 7 feet tall, goes 220, 300 pounds. Pound for pound, I would bet on a 5'10 child abductor any day of the week. If I bet on child abductions, to be clear, I don't. I may put $5 or $10 in a dead pool, but that's as grim as I'm going to get. My point is, though he may be bigger, heavier, stronger, this unshaven nincompoop, the boogeyman, you know, I don't want to coach him, I don't want to give anybody ideas, but let me just say, his approach to child abduction is just all wrong. Let's just start with the basics, and this starts on the previous page. Quote, "The boogeyman is typically a nocturnal predator who stalks the streets, back alleys, schoolyards, parks, and playgrounds after sunset, or in the early morning hours before the sun has risen. Bus stations, shopping malls, and other places where children congregate, such as parking lots and garages, where kids may come to skateboard or hang out away from adult eyes after hours, are also common hunting grounds for the boogeyman." I don't feel like a bus station at dusk is the ideal place to go hunting for children. Already we got problems with the MO here. Stalking back alleys before sunrise, stalking bus stations at dusk, this is your idea of where children congregate? Keep in mind, the boogeyman is looking for kids ranging about 2 years old to 10 years old. How many kids under 10 do you typically find at a bus station on a summer evening around about 8:30? I mean, I can tell you, at least in Portland, I have not run into a lot of preteens while I'm waiting to catch a bus or a train. And I guess generously, we could say, oh, maybe he's at the bus stations in the morning and there are kids who are on their way to school and they have to take city buses. But they do appear in the sentence that's about evening hours. And in any case, snatching kids from bus stations while they're on their way to school is not much better. Very likely to be with peers, going to be immediately missed at school, and once the child is missed, the bus station is the first place people are going to go looking for witnesses. It's so obvious. I mean, I maintain that it is not a target-rich environment for somebody who wants to kidnap just any kid, but if you wanted to kidnap a specific child who rides the bus to school, and then that child goes missing, of course you're going to check the bus station. Like, once you find out that they left the house but never went to school, where else would you fucking look? And once you start snooping around the bus station, it's not going to be long before you find the boogeyman. Because in addition to being, frankly, uncreative and wrong-headed in his choice of child hunting grounds, the boogeyman also maintains the most obvious fucking lair possible. Quote, "Hunts in a confined area, a 5-mile radius of its dwelling place slash lair. Seeks a child to eat every 14 plus 2d6 days, snatching one or two at a time. Eats rats and the occasional cat or raven between meals. The monster amuses itself by laying around, getting drunk, scaring children and adults, beating up homeless people, and killing ravens and cats, often leaving dead cats on their owner's doorstep or hanging from a tree." I'm gonna have to redo that fucking content warning again. This is gonna be take three. I gotta add violence against animals. Thanks, boogeyman. Here's the thing, I can't skip the cats though, because it turns out they're a big part of the boogeyman. Quote, "Boogeymen attract cats as well as ravens. Cats instinctively hate boogeymen, and as a result, 4d6 plus 10 cats will be found hanging around the place inhabited by one, wailing and crying at dawn and dusk when the boogeyman is most likely to be on the prowl looking for children on their way to school or coming home to supper." So we know now, the boogeyman only hunts in a 5-mile radius, has a lair that is full of fucking angry cats, in addition to the angry ravens and crows. that swarm down to fill the air with their annoying caws every time the boogeyman tries to go anywhere or do anything. In addition to that, his supposedly hidden lair has, on average, 24 angry yowling cats in it at all times. And if that weren't enough, boogeymen, quote, are found exclusively in urban settings, living in rat-infested abandoned buildings, basements, cellars, dilapidated houses, junkyards, warehouses, and sewers, ideally near one or more schools, playgrounds, or places where children gather or walk past on a regular basis. So let's say that a child disappears at the bus station in the morning because the boogeyman managed to scrape together half a brain cell and realize, if I hang around this bus station all night waiting for a preteen child to show up in the dark to catch a bus, it might be a while before I once again enjoy the great taste of kid. Let me hit this place in the morning when people are on their way to school. So he catches a kid in the morning. You get the call from school. Kid never came in. Parents concerned. Naturally, people go looking at the bus station. What we know, because of the absolutely worthless hunting instincts of the boogeyman, is that this boogeyman is going to have a lair full of 24 yowling cats somewhere within 5 miles of where this child was abducted. That lair is going to be like an abandoned building or a junkyard, somewhere obviously creepy and abandoned. It's going to be adjacent to one or more places with ready access to children. So already we're narrowing it down, right? Like, there are a lot of junkyards to search, but how many junkyards within 5 miles of where the child was abducted? And how many of those junkyards are next to one or more elementary schools? You're narrowing it down pretty quickly. Like, where could a weirdo live if they wanted to be in an abandoned, squalid location directly next to where the children play? That's the most obvious place to go looking for a child abductor. And as soon as you get even in the ballpark, just follow the sound of angry fucking cats. I feel like, you know, if you get the community out looking for a kid, a 5 mile radius in the very most likely spots, it's not hard to find the boogeyman. And the thing is, you've got a while. Quote, a boogeyman never kills outright and always captures his victims alive, gagging and binding them in strong twine, torn rags, or duct tape, and taking them to his lair. All boogeymen like to play with their food, teasing, frightening, and pushing around their victim for 4d4 plus 18 hours before actually slaying and eating the poor child. This gives would-be rescuers a small window of opportunity to find and rescue the most recent victim before it is too late. So that's an average of 28 hours. My feeling is, as victims of child abduction go, you're pretty lucky if a boogeyman got your kid. He's a whole hell of a lot easier to find than a human child abductor who has, for example, a house to take kids to, rather than a loud, stinky rat den where he's been harassing people out the window and being drunk in public day after day. And then once he gets there, he just chills out for over one full day messing with this kid before he kills them. But okay, let's assume maybe there were extenuating circumstances. Maybe this was like a somewhat neglected child, sad situation. Whatever the case, the child is gone. One child down. But you need to understand, this is not like a mortal child abductor or killer who might be able to commit multiple crimes over a long period and be quite subtle about it and require really serious investigation. For a boogeyman, eating one kid, it's like eating one popcorn shrimp. It's like, I know the first one of you motherfuckers I eat, I'm not even going to taste because I'm so busy thinking about eating the rest of you motherfuckers, but one of you has to be first, so get in here. So we've got one child, aka one popcorn shrimp. Hopefully I'm not being too callous in my approach to this, but look, we're on a schedule, okay? We can't be grieving for every hypothetical fictional child. All human life is precious, but for the sake of this discussion, think of a child's life as a popcorn shrimp. The boogeyman eats, on average, a child every couple weeks. In addition to all the rats and cats and stuff that it eats in between kids, and in addition to all the other random mischief that it does during its downtime. So in addition to making a general nuisance of itself and drawing attention to its lair, after the boogeyman is consumed one precious and irreplaceable popcorn shrimp, it's going to be hankering for another one in just a couple of weeks. It's going to have to abduct another kid. From where? The same 5 mile radius, the same likely hunting spots. And every time it does this, it keeps the child around and alive in the same location, the same fucking cat-filled, stinking, notorious location for over one full day before killing the child. And then 2 weeks later, there's that fucking 7-foot hobo at the bus station again, scanning the crowd for short people with backpacks who might be on their way to middle school. And oh, what's that? The sky over the bus station is just filled with fucking crows? Every crow within 2 miles is sitting on the tracks and cawing its head off? I wonder what could be going on here. Maybe I'll look around. Oh, hey, is that a gigantic hobo? Is that a gigantic filthy man with stained clothes looking for children? Is that one in his arms? Is he holding it like a football and running away? Oh, darn it, he got away. Where should we look for him first? I know. The abandoned warehouse next to three daycares that is filled night and day with the yowling of 24 cats. And hey, speaking of this this scene at the bus station where all the fucking crows of the kingdom have descended and drawn attention to this guy, what does a boogeyman look like in case people start to be on the lookout for suspicious-looking characters after a couple of kids disappear at the bus station? Well, quote, "The appearance of the boogeyman is that of an unkempt, husky, olive, or brown-skinned male with a bald head or a tangle of jet black or stark white and disheveled hair. Teeth are yellow and crooked with several missing teeth. The eyes are small and beady, the ears large, fingernails cracked and dirty. This brute is always dressed in tattered, filthy clothing and looks like a homeless person." So I don't know where you're at home with your negative stereotypes bingo card, but yes, naturally, the boogeyman is heavyset, dark-skinned, and looks homeless. But anyway, you know, uncomfortable stereotypes aside, just like being 6 to 7 feet tall, stinking, alcohol in your breath, unkempt, like, this is a person who's going to get attention, especially when there are vulnerable children around. For a monster who's supposed to sort of embody parents' terror of child abduction, I would consider the boogeyman to have had a pretty good run and to have been pretty lucky overall if he manages to eat two kids in peace before his ass gets beat down by either law enforcement or the community or just a couple of vigilante parents. You could not pick a worse place to hide than the layers described on this page, and that's the dumbest thing on this page. It's not too often that we encounter a creature that is the worst in every sense of the word. But the boogeyman is the worst because he's a child abductor and the worst at being a child abductor. Truly a disgrace to child-stealing goblins everywhere. But we're not even done yet. Join me next time for yet more boogeyman on MDC The Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Megadumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.